had some questions to guide the Chazara. Have to continue Chazaring. And hopefully the questions will help help the Chazara, help formulate ideas, and keep the sugyas current. And I'd like to begin this this Zman by going back to the first Tosfos. And then in Mirat Hashem, we'll go forward again from the Gilam of Beis. I think in the Chazar, she said one sugya left out is Roy Mitzinit Shechita, so we have to still pick up on that. Good. So this Masechta begins with Hakol Shoyechatin. Hakol Shoyechatin. And the Tosfos points out that that should include women as well. And this Tosfos has become a very much discussed makor in contemporary times, so we'll go through it carefully. Hakol Shoyechatin Kos of Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. That there was a sefer that we don't have, we have trouble tracking it exactly what the sefer was. Again, that's not going to be so important when we go trying to understand the din, because it'll be picked up by the Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch anyways. The Mordechai refers to it as the Sefer of Rabbeinu Eldon ben Machli Abomei Aseres HaShvotim. And he quotes this, you'll have a look at the Mordechai, it's a very, very interesting entry. Omer Yehoshua mipi Moshe mipi Agvura. So we don't know exactly what the Sefer is. We referred to once before. If the Ibn Ezra writes that we don't, that the Sefer does not have good pedigree. And the text itself comes from Seres HaShvatim. Some Svarim think that since it begins by saying Omer Yeshua Mipi Moshe Mipi Gvura, that it goes back to Yeshua, that's really what the Aleph Yud stood for. It wasn't Hilchas Eretz, it was Hilchas Omer Yeshua. But again, the background here is not so important, it's more of a curiosity. Because of Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, the Noshim Lo Yishchetu, Bibnei Shedaaton Kalos, that women should not be shechting. Bibnei Shedaaton Kalos. Daaton Kalos has different meanings in different places. Over here, the Beis Yosef assumes that it means that women are a faint heart. And therefore, they would faint. Bishash Shechita. We know already from Gilam and Beis that there was a concern of we paskin that we're not, that we do not universalize our concern of Shematis Aleph. We don't require that a sheikhet is tested that they won't faint, but we see that the Gemara, there was a machlekes in Bismalai Gemara, whether we should be choishes that people be a faint heart. So the Beis Yosef understood that that's what it meant, that right women would not be able to withstand the gory Beis HaShechita, and even if they would step up the plate and shech, who knows if they'd make it through the whole shechita. So that would not be a good thing for shechita. All right? You wouldn't have, you'd have a shehiya, a dross, it'd come up to a shechita, if a person faints, b'shach shechita. So that was the chashash, dat and kalas. That was the, and therefore, the hilchas Eretz Yisrael would indicate, noshim lo yishchetu, it sounds like there was a dinder of bonon, of a chashash de raisa. Correct? Good. Tosfos says ve'ein nira. Tosfos says that he doesn't, that this does not seem to be correct. And it does not seem to be. The simple reading of our Mishnah, kol shoyechten, afilu noshim. So Tosfos says it doesn't seem to be correct that there was a takona, you have to remember, that if the Mordechai, the way the Mordechai records this, this goes back to the time of Yeshua. And even if it's not the Mordechai, but if it's not the time, it's not that early sefer. Before she, even if it doesn't go all the way back as the Mordechai would indicate, but he had this according to Tosfos, this is one of the earlier Rishonim. It obviously preceded him. And Tosfos says that this goes against the Pashtus HaSugya. What's the Pashtus HaSugya? Afilu b'mukdash l'shoyach ha-Tosfos l'chadchila. Why is that? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Zvachim, kol apsulim sheshochtu. And the Mishnah there records Noshim, the Ban of the Omer. Shchitosan k'sheira. Shashchita k'sheira bizorim ubenoshim ubavodim ubetmeyim. Vafilu b'kotshe kotshim. The Gemara says, why is it b'di'evit shchitosan k'sheira? It should be akol shaychden. Kol apsulin sheshochtu. Shchitos and ksheira, shashchita ksheira, right? What do you mean ksheira? It should be shechten. So Gemara says because temeim should not be shechten lechadchila. We know that from Beis and Beis, because a tomei could easily touch. So a tomei is going to be careful and is going to make sure he doesn't touch. And maybe he'll use a krum yishol kana. He won't use a metal. So aval pikein lechadchila, he shouldn't do it. So Taisa says, what happened to Noshim? Why did the Gemara say Noshim shouldn't shech lechadchila? Dilmi is alfu. Taisva says, so Re'im Mikan, right? You see from here that the din is that Noshim, women can shech lechadchila. Kol apsulim sheshochtu diyavad in lechadchila loy baraminu v'shochet malamit sheshchita kesheira. That's the precise sugya over there. Umishanu aden da afilu chadchila elam mishum de boy lemisne tomim mukdoshim. All this list can shech lechadchila. The only one that can't shech lechadchila is the tomei. So it seems clearly from the sugya that women can shech lechadchila. V'loika amar mishum de kaboy lemisne noshim. That's also in the Mishnah. Elavadai must be the noshim shech ades lechadchila. Afilu b'mukdashin, v'ha the like atoni. Now Taisva says that apparently, if I wanted to defend the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, if I wanted to defend where is he coming from, so he would say, well, when at the beginning of Tamura, it's our kol me'mirim echad anoshim echad anoshim. So over here in our Mishnah, why doesn't it say our kol shoychetin echad anoshim echad anoshim? So Tosfos says maybe that's where the diuk would come from, that noshim women should not be shechten chilchila. V'hod the loike tani hakol shoychetin echad anoshim yechad noshim kidek tani b'tmura chosam itzrech lemisnaya kidepirish b'resh tmura mishum dekol aparsha kula nemer b'loshin zocha avol hocha ein chidesh v'isha yoyseh mi v'ish. Over there, Taish is saying it had to say Afilu Noshim. Why? Because since the parsha of Tmura is Beloshin Zachar, there would be a half a minute to say that women are not shaykh in the sugya of Tmura. So the Mishnah had to express no, they are mechuyavis also. However, when it comes to Shechita, there is no basis for which we would have a half a minute to say that women would be excluded from Shechita in Chidush Be'isha Yesim Be'ish. Uvepere kol apsulim, gabi kodshim, itzrech lemisnei noshim mishum de b'shor avaydais, noshim sulis afilu kahanis. I'll ask me, so why is it the gabi kodshim? The Gemara goes out of its way to say that there are certain avaydas that women can do. There's a good reason for that, because there are avoiders that a woman is possible to do. Even if it's a woman is a kohen, she can't do, she's psula from Zerika, Mivleilach. So I have to say that women are shechetes. See, don't bring me a raya that legabe kodshim, we're going to have a counterintuitive conclusion. Don't tell me in kodshim women can shecht lechanchila. And not by chulin. Don't tell me that over there the Gemara went out of its way to say that noshim can shech should be avir as well. No, but there's another reason. Over here there is no reason to have such a havamir. That was apparently the machlekes rishonim. Is there some din derabbanan that women shouldn't shech? Taisa says there is no din derabbanan, And this Hilchos Eretz Yisrael says there is a din derabanan that women shouldn't shecht. Shulchan Aruch says Hakol Shechetin Lechad Chila Afilu Noshim. The first halach in Shulchan Aruch in Nir Deya is women can shecht Lechad Chila. Says the Ramah Yesh Oimrim She'enin Laniach Noshim Lishchot Shekvar Nogu Shaloy Lishchot V'chein Aminah She'en Noshim Shechetis. Where does this come from? This is the Ogur. So the Torah points out, Lechad Hakol Shoichatin, Lechad Chila Noshim Avodim Shechorim, Vakol Odom, Afilu Ein Makirin, I say, Shemuchzog Lishchoy, Shaloy Yisalef, even if we don't know that they have a strong heart and they're not going to faint, Vagam Ein Yoidin Boy Shum Mumch, we don't know those halachas, that's our Sugi Gilmoy base. Shiroi haregilin l'shchoit hein b'cheskas mumchin u'muchzokim. Okay. And then the Gemara says, and the Torah writes, v'med v'mam urim, it's all the sugi in Gemara and Beis. But over here he says, l'chad chila, noshim as well, Beis Yosef, on this, opening Beis Yosef, says, Kain Kosu Atosis. Beresh Chulin. Right? The women can shech lechad chila. Udoloi kilchas Eretz Yisrael. Some say it's Eldar Adoni, Lukuti Alochis. She kosvu de noshim lo yishchatu. Why? If they should dat in kala, shem yisalfu. Vapoiskim eskimu ledas atosis. That's overwhelming. And all the Sifrei Shchit of the early of the Kadmonim, the Ogur from the Chachmei Ashkenaz, Kosav Sha'afal Pi Shedas Apoiskim Kain, Afal Pi Shedas Apoiskim Kain, Haminog B'chol Golus Yisrael, Shelo Yishchatu, that women should not shecht. Minog. Umeilam Lariisi Noyeg Lishchot, says the Ogur, never saw it. Velachain Ein Lanichan Lishchot, and therefore we should not let women shecht. Ki aminog mevatel alocha, uminog aveisenu Torah. Vani Oimer, says the Beis Yosef, Shimhoya Oimer, Sheyuroitzes Lishchot, Veloinichan. Says the Beis Yosef, would the Ogur reported that there was a movement amongst women for Shechita, and they would have come forward, and the Rabbanu would have said, women don't do Shechita, that's a minig. But he's not saying that. He's saying he never saw, who knows, maybe a woman never wanted to shecht. So how do you know that there's such a minig? Ach raya slayrihino ain't a raya. Kosev a kolboy, Rabbi Yitzchak, Kosev shanoshim sheikha toisla atzmon. Mashma for themselves, but not for others. Ad kalish vidover teimo. Why should they have such a din that they can shech to themselves and not for other people? Either it's good or it's not good. Good, so that's the sugi until we get to Shulchan Aruch, and then Shulchan Aruch. Expectedly, the Mechaber says, like he argues in his Beis Yosef, no problem. And the Ramah says, no, the Ogur says is a minhag not to shech. Okay. Now, what has to be understood? So you have the Tosfos, Raya from the Gemara, and a machlokes, whether we respect the record of the Ogur that there was a minhag not to shech. No, so what has to be understood? Let us be explained. Gwen?
Firstly, what's the level of this minhag?
What's the level of the minhag? Right, so. I'm sorry?
We say minhag avasinu torah, what does that mean?
Right, so you're correctly indicating that there are different levels of minhagim. Right? In other words, that. Let's say the din of always having one's head covered. It's a minug. Then it goes back to the time of the Gemara. Right? The minog we discussed right before the break. We discussed the minog no, we didn't discuss that. There's a minog mizman Gemara mizman Bayisheni that when women go to the mikveh, they remove, they bathe themselves very carefully. The halacha is they have to examine themselves. The minig mizman, probably mizman bayisheni, right? So there are very, very old minhagim. There are minhagim in Simchas Torah, let's say, to have, they get many, many aliyahs. A little bit strange. The Maharik, everybody, of course, the minig goes back to the time of the Rishonim, not the time of the Gemara, the time of Rishonim. All right, a minhag to have two candles. Some have a minhag to light a candle for every child. No, that's a very recent, a relatively recent minhag. That's not going to be the same as the minhag of not going b'kisei rosh, of always going b'kisei rosh. The minhag of always wearing a talis cotton, being mechayev oneself. It's a minhag l'chara, right? There's no chiyev to mechayev yourself. So there are different levels of minhagim. So what level of minhag? So l'chayra, if it appears in the Ramah, and the Ramah says that she'ein laniach nashim l'shchoit she'kvar nogu sh'loi l'shchoit v'chein ha'minhag she'ein nashim sh'eichnes. So what we saw the Beis Yosef quotes from the Masechta Soifim that there can be a minog that's tyri, right? Minog is the same. It minog can be as incumbent upon us as a din, as a regular din. What's that based on? So that's depends what level of minog, right? Is the minog a way of determining a certain hachro and psak? Is a minhag based on the two classical approaches? A minhag based on some kind of neder, a klal yisrael took a neder, we took a kabbalah upon ourselves, or is minhag based on the power of consensus that if klal yisrael decides to do something, imloy neviim b'nei neviim, the klal yisrael is a koyach to whatever it is. All right. So what level of minhag? Not a bad question. Where is it holding in terms of minhag? Okay. How incumbent? In other words, how far do you have to go? Let's say if a woman wants a shech. So how far do you take it? So you tell her no. Let's say she's going to bring a suit against the community for discrimination. So now you're going to have to hire lawyers. It's going to cost the community a lot of money. So how far do you go? So that depends how strong a minhag it is. No, what else have you asked to explain? Go ahead.
Maybe minhag versus halacha, because he mentions that minhag trumps halacha, but I'm sure it's not just always just so pasha like that. Halacha,
so there's a minhag to be machmer in the halacha, right? So it's not a minhag against the halacha, right? He had that sometimes. That's the opening sugi in Shas, opening tosas of Shas, right? Is the minhag of davening mincha marav in the tarte disasre. Right? That's a minhag mamish that seems to go against the halacha. Alright? So that's. But this is a minhag that's not upending halacha. Right? So the same issue. How do you categorize, how do you phrase halacha? No, what else has to be explained though? The machlaik is. Was that? Right. In other words, what's there's a nakuda over here is that it is a practice that's been established by inactivity. Is that a minhag? This is a huge issue of halacha l'maisa. I don't have a practice that's established by activity. The Maharik talks about all the minhagim and Simchas Torah. There's a very oft quoted Maharik, Simon Tess. It's such a famous Maharik. It was a situation where the community sold the aliyahs. And this particular minog, they would sell the koyin to the top bidder. And if the top bidder was Yisrael, he got it. And they would ask the koyin to leave so that they could give the aliyah to the Yisrael. And there was one, and so they did it, they sold it. Top bidder was Yisrael. There came time for Zeis HaBrocha, and the koyin says, I'm not going. Why should I leave? It's a dinner abonah, you can't put koyin. Akim de rice of Kidashtai. So what's the din? So the Marik says that he coin has to leave. Why? So that's what he discusses, because the minig is mevatel halacha. And minig which is done for kovi, he says, all the minhagim of simcha seira are all done, reading over and over and over again, all the kovi and teira. So Klal Yisrael can establish certain minhagim. So that is, those are minhagim that are established via maisa. Is there such a thing as lo ra'inu? Never saw a woman read Megillah. A woman could read a Megillah if you to machlekes v'shoinim. But lo ra'inu didn't happen until the 20th century. So is that a raya that we paskin women should read Megillah? Right. So this comes up taking the Sefer Torah into the women's section. As far as we know, it didn't happen till the late 20th century. Can you find a Shulchan Aruch that says you can take the Sefer Torah in the women's section? So this issue about whether lo ra'inu raya is a huge judicial halacha lemaaseh. Person wants to establish a new practice. Do we say no new practices? Lo ra'inu. So the opening sugya in Yeridaya is, what's the status of a loy re'inu? Is a loy re'inu or a raya? So how do you formulate the din of it? How do you formulate this nakuda? Is loy re'inu or a raya now? So that's number one. That's a machlekes, l'ch'orah machlekes, ramah and shulchanach. What else has to be explained? So that's going to tie into what kind of a minig it is. What's behind this minig? What else?
I guess this would also be attached to the Machlokes of Lo'inu, but if there was any reasoning assigned to the minhag of Tefillah as to why women were rejecting.
Right, so that I would formulate in the following way. But the thing is correct. In other words, what does L'chora, the issue of whether there is a minhag over here, should be connected with, was there a valid reason or logic behind them? So those are very closely connected. There is a slightly different way of formulating this in amongst the Rosh Yeshiva, because the mahalach of the Litvashi Yeshivas, beginning with the Vilna Gaon, and being very much emphasized by the Chachmei Brisk, I mean the modern Chachmei Brisk, and the Rav is very, very strong in this, that a minhag has to conform with some previously stated halacha. The mahalach has usually said that if by a din de rabbanon Chazal or Misakin only ke'ein de raisa, so lachas kamavakamo a minhag has to be a ke'ein of some previous din. If Chazal would not make up a new din, a new practice, so certainly a minhag would make up a new practice. So what's the ke'ein de'iraisa? What's the ke'ein? What is the din that this is being modeled after? Right. So that's what we have to understand in this sugya. What is the basis for the Ramah, when the Ramah says that we do follow the minhag of the ogre? So number one, do we say that loy re'inu is a raya? When do we say loy re'inu is a raya? Do we say loy is a raya? And in this particular case, is there a how do we understand the basis for the minhag? This is the first year that the Rav gave in Yeridaya. So the Mechaber, so the Shach addresses this issue. Says the Shach, in Kosovo Ogur. Rabbi Yosef, he said, go love the Lorina and Araya. Ulefi Anias Dati Nira, the Das Ogur, Kemosha Kosov Maharik, Bisharish Kufayan base, the Minog Ukahai Gavna Have Lorina Araya, Ukemosha Kosov Arab, Bechosha Mishbad, Soib Simon Lamazai. So, in other words, the Shach says, it's the Machlokes. And with the Loi Re'ino is a Raya. The Beis Yosef is willing to concede that if the Loi Re'ino was an active Loi Re'ino, in other words, when at some point the Rabbanim said, we are not doing this, we have a record that we're not doing this, he said, that can establish a minhag. But if there was never a Bikush for women to Shecht, and now there was somebody gave a grant because he wanted to encourage more women's participation, and he gave a grant to have shechatos, right? And so, do any basis say a minute against shechatos? So that's the shach says that is an old machlokes based, and you can find the precedent for it in the Maruk Kuf Ayin base. My Maruk Kuf Ayin base is not exactly in this Nakuda. My Maruk Kuf Ayin base was an interesting tshuva about a Jew who had secured exclusivity from the non-Jewish population. Now, I don't know if it sounded to me like the Jew had a bed and breakfast or something. And he got an agreement from the government that he can be the only bed and breakfast, and not only Jewish. And that's exactly how they formulated it. So then another Jew wanted to come in, and apparently the authorities were not going to enforce their own agreement. So can the Beis Din enforce the agreement? There's a town in, there was a suburb of Toronto where the Tenenbaums, you don't see the name so much, they were philanthropists, and they huge philanthropists. In fact, there was a time when the old Beis Medrash, what's it called now? It was called Tenenbaum Hall, right? So, I don't know what happened, it was a timed out situation, but so they set up a shul in a suburb of Toronto, and they made an agreement with the zoning that they can be the only shul in this whole suburb, which is very good for orthodoxy. But after a while, even the orthodox had trouble with it. So that was this Maharik. So I don't get I get the impression that there must be another Kufayin base. But the Shach is in Choshen Mishpat, was a Lamed Zayin. So here he points out over there the same issue. That it's a Machlekes that the Marik held. And the Marik brought several Rayas, and he pointed out that the Shulta Giborim was against it. What did I say, Lamed Zayin, Shulchan Aruch? Here the question is whether, if we're trying to establish what the common practice is, can we take Edom that are not kosher Edom to establish those practices? So the Mechaber writes, Achshav Noagu Lekabel Edom Me'akol Al Takonos V'Haskomos, that if we want to establish what is the practice in this town? What do we do? How many hours are we going to come out between between meat and milk, how long do we wait after Shkia, whether we have certain township zoning rules, who's going to be mayor? There's machlekes in the town, what are minigas? Do we say Abarachna, we say Abarachna? So who are they going to be there? So the rule, they made a takon at some point that you only take edus from residents. You don't take edus from outsiders, which you could say is counterintuitive, because every resident has a vested interest. So forget it. Take from the guys who moved out. They have no vested interest. So we have a takon, no, we only take edim from, we don't bring edim in. We use locals. And even if the Edim are not kosher Edim, they're Kroivim, they're relatives to each other. Now, what happens if the debate is a debate of whether a practice was practiced or not? So the Rama writes, and what's happening over here? The Rama writes, V'chein loy amrinin b'kiyoytzei b'zeh loy re'inu eine raya. Elahave raya, marvik kuf ayin beis, v'donin becheskes ayishu v'kedoyme, mitzorche yair. And let's say there's a, the question was whether this town, the question was, does this town do taxes? All right, so it would be a situation of, so the members of the town, let's say there was a question about whether this town charges Rabbanim taxes. They charge clergy taxes. So what happens if a group says, Lairino? It never happened. And we never charge the clergy. So is that going to be a raya or not? Again, there you could argue, maybe since they're charging everybody else and not the clergy, it was a decision that was made. But similar kinds of things where there was a township that where somebody's claiming there's a township rule on the books that no one can have a party after 10:30 at night. So now my neighbor's having a party at the 10:30. I say, we have a minig. We have a minig. Have you ever heard of a party after 10:30? There happened. So machloek is that now a raya of such a minig? So the Maharvik says that in this context, it would be a raya of... And so the Shach says, so now that's the machlekes between the Ogur and the Bali Atosis. Bali Atosis say, I have rice from the Gemara. That the Ogur says, fine. Yeah, I have good rice from the Gemara. I'm not arguing that it's mutum, he's not a din. That's done. Good rice from the Gemara. I'm arguing that there was a minug. So Taisus is Taisus. Taisus is Mitzad Adin is Mutter. Why should we make it awesome afterward? I have to figure it out. Moga says, but we've never seen a woman Shach. So now the Beis Yosef says, no. Not a Raya. Doesn't mean anything to us. And Mo says that the Shach then defends the Ogur by saying, of course, the Ogur was saying the facts are the same facts from the Ogur and the Beis Yosef. Right? The Ogur was saying women never shechted. The Ogur was not saying that there was a bikush for women, and we have swarm, we have a record of Rabbanim saying no. So they're looking at the exact same set of facts. And the Beis Yosef is saying no raya. And the Ogur is saying raya brura, machleg smachav ramah. Shach says that we have a same machlokes by the Maharik. We paskin the loy reinu is a raya. What's the hezbar machlokes with the loy reinu? You look at the Rav is a very surprising connection. The first page of Shmuel Rav, where he points at two other Ramos, where he thinks that the Ramos is a shita that the absence of doing something in Hilchas Avelos. Rav holds that the Ramaz Mechadesh that not bathing with hot water al shloishim rachmanu l'tzlan, so that was a minhag. Not to bathe during Shiva, that's a din. In hot water. So that the, but for shloshim is a minhag. So the Rav said, how could the minhag be established? The minhag of not doing something. So the Rav said, we can establish a minhag. There is a, there, a minhag can be established by the absence of not of, of something. What's Hezra Adavar? How would you explain the machlokes? Go ahead.
But that's just a, that's about whether you can, whether passivity is not doing something is active enough to be fellow's minhag or not.
Okay.
But not, it wasn't necessarily parallel, necessarily this case, because it could be that someone went to his rub and said, I want to use that water.
Right. So I agree with you that if I thought there was a, I thought that that was stretched because that is such a common scenario that that I can easily see a minhag being established through. Yeah, I agree with that. That I thought that was. I was surprised that the Rav connected these two, and then. Right? But so coming back to our situation, where can you establish a practice? When it, can you establish a minhag when it may not have been a proactive decision? There's no question you can establish a minhag if Klal Yisrael said, this is what we're doing, right? And we are refraining from doing something. Whether you hold the minhag's mitam neder, whether you hold the minhag's mitam consensus, or whether you hold a minhag is based on the kedushas Klal Yisrael, that we have the ability to establish practices, so then all of those make sense when the minhag is a proactive decision. Good. Now we have that we now want to be machadish something. We want to establish a new practice. It was never done before. We want to have women's akofis. Right? We want to have women's... it's interesting that, so many of the contemporary things are in the exact same spot where the Machaber and Ramah we're discussing. Right? It's hard for us to think of new things because our minds are so focused on these things. But if we probably would think, we could find other areas. I tell you, other areas. A person wants to make a new tefillah, right? The tefillah l'shalom hamdina is not a new tefillah because there is an age-old practice of davening on behalf of the local government, right? It goes back to Europe, and it's the Mishnah of Ois. All right. But something along those lines, for example, okay, Tesis Yom Tov, a new Misha Beruch for those people who didn't speak during Shul. A new practice. I can argue, okay, that it's not so much unlike other Misha Beruchs. Not something so new. Right? So where, so at what point do we say, but lay nahagdu kacha, we don't do this. We don't. So the lechayra, the machlekes between the ogur and the shulchan aruch is more machlekes about being machadish new practices rather than going up against old menhagim. Oh, is that correct? Is lo re'inu a raya? So you could say, is lo re'inu a raya that some decision was made already? Is lo re'inu a raya that there is already a consensus? So the Shulchan Aruch says no. So how can you say Lairainu is every Lairainu is a raya. It is a consensus. It does make a decision. L'chari, the issue is whether there is a minug, a resistance to being mechanish something. So if something has never been practiced, women never shechted. All right. So now we have to figure out, is this considered to be a significant innovation or not? L'chore, that's what the ogre is. But that's what the ogre was going to come was claiming. L'chore. There are two very important mikoros as to which support the Ramah and the ogre. One is Rav Yosef points out in Kiddushin Lam Kiddushin. Nun beis amid beis. The Gemara over there discusses whether a person can mekadesh his wife with a chelik that he has of a korban. The Gemara says, Noshim ba'azara minayim. How can I be mekadesh? I have a chelik of a korban. Chelik belongs to me. I'm a koyin. I'm going to get a certain chelik after the korban is brought. So now I say that, and that's already predetermined. It's already my lunch. It's my dinner. So now I want to mekadesh my wife with that chelik of that korban. So Gemara says, how can you do that? The woman's not going to make it into the Azara. She can't get to it right now. Maybe later on when you bring it home, you can mekadesh. But right now? Noshim ba'azara minayin. Rashi says, basically, there's some kind of iser of woman going to the Azara. And it's very hard pressed to figure out what Isur there is. But Rav Yosef says, but you see from this question that women did not commonly do Shechita. Because if women commonly did Shechita, then women do go to the Azara. If a woman is a Sota, she's going to the Azara. If a woman was a Nazira, she would come into the Azara. So when the Gemara says Noshim ba'azara minayin b'chi'isha ba'azara minayin, so that means that she was not commonly found ba'azara. She would not be expected ba'azara. If she's a asota, if she's a nazira, she'd be there. But from the lashon of the Gemara, b'chi'isha b'azara minayin, Rav Yosef says, you see, that women were not doing shechitas kodshim. And if they weren't doing shechitas kodshim, why would he assume that they were doing stam shechita? And then, there's a tosfos that the Achronim point out, Ayin Vav Amud Beis in Kiddushin. Where Tosfos seems to say that there was a practice that women didn't do shechita. The Gemara in Kedushin Ayin Vav is discussing establishing a person's yuchsin, whether the person was of good enough pedigree, whether. So the Gemara says that if a Kohen was allowed into Beis HaMikdash and could bring a Korban or could do anything after, anything beyond bringing a Korban, so then we assume that they were of good pedigree, that they were bona fide Kohen. Gemara says that there's a discussion in the Gemara Ksuvis whether if a person was signing shtoreis, does that mean that he was accepted as a regular Jew, full-fledged Jew? How do I find that? I want to marry a woman, mamish out of town, or a friend wants to marry me, and the family wants to check into me. I want to find out. Am I a kosher yet? They don't know. How do they know me? How are they going to find out? So instead of having them contact the rabbi of my town, I show them I'm a notary. I sign a lot of shtaris. I bring shtaris. That means I'm a kosher aid. So can we say shtaris? That's an indication. The guy is being buchsuk as a firm Jew, as a regular Jew. So the Gemara says, Malin mishtaris liyuchsa. That is a good riot. So the Gemara says, V'im toites v'im toimar, Nisne nami ein boidkin minisiyas kapaymul mala, mitrumala mala. Why don't we say that? Why do we say you have to be a kohen mikdash? Why don't we say if you go up there for duchening, that's a pretty good raya or kohen. Gemara says that if people give you truma, that's a pretty good raya. Rav Zilberstein, it also has these very interesting situations. So he had a situation where there was a Russian, and he wanted to verify whether the Russian was Jewish or not. So the Russian, this goes back about 20, 30 years, so the Russian didn't remember much. He knew, he was told he was Jewish. So he started asking him various questions about Yomtid, not Yomtid, very, very vague memory. And then he remembered that on several occasions every year, and it was set occasions, his mother would buy his father a new pair of socks. So he said, based on that, they must be kohenim. Because why would why several times a year? So based on that, he said, it must be that she was buying it, he was the kohen, he was duchening. And I don't know if he was malahim lakuna, but he apparently was based on that. He was thought there was enough indication that they were Jewish. So this comes back to this Gemara. Menesias kapayim. Because if a guy was doing duchening, we wouldn't let a guy do duchening. Again, the lady's going to wash his hands. If the guy's not. Obviously, he's muchzak lakayim. Ein boyd kim nesbechel mala. So he says, the maria filu ba avoides haksheris bizarim. Why don't we say that we can use every avodah, even before the shechita? So we'll be a kohen. He's a kosher yid, he's in shechita. Or with flaying. Even though shechita is good by noshim avodim, haynu diavad. So you see from this Tosfos that there was a minhag that women should not do shechita in mikdash. It's possible that. That minig established spread not to doing shechita even outside of mikdash. So that's really Yoshev's suggestion that it could be that we do have a makor for this minig even going back to the tkufa of the Gemara. All right. So now, question is: so what would be the basis for such a minig? And how would we explain the Beis Yosef who says that there was a practice that a woman could not shecht for others but could shecht for themselves? Right? So that's the, again, so the first point we discussed is there a basis for saying loy re'inu araya? Something that does not happen. Does that establish a practice? Machlokes mechaber ba. We're back to the Ma'arik and the Shach. Now let's take the approach of the Ramah, the approach of the Ma'arik of the Shach. That there is a minhag. It's the Ramah Paskins. So, what basis could there be? So one possibility going down the road of Yoshev is that there was a practice that women shouldn't shecht in mikdash, and that spilled over into common shechita. That would not explain a chiluk between shechting for myself or others. Go ahead.
Couldn't you say that the shechita in the mikdash would require smicha? You said that smicha is something that
women
wouldn't do.
I don't think there's any reason to assume that one avoider was linked to the other avoider. There is one step that I want to mention. You find a lot of achronim. A lot of achronim discuss whether this particular question is linked to the Gemara in Pesachim that questions whether women are, whether there's ne'monos eid echad on women for things that are atircha yaseira. We've already discussed it with the women in ne'monos for bedikas chametz. Right? So we don't, so woman is not ne'monos for bedikas chametz. The Gemara says why? Mora says because Vedika is such a huge, so much tircha, so much work. So women are not in them on this. So the Pnei Yeshua, the three Svarim that discuss, Pnei Yeshua and the Sholem Eshiv and the Sheilas Yabes, all discuss whether the Ogur is based on a din that women are not Ne'emonos for anything which requires a Tircha Yisera and Shechita, checking the knife, and then checking the Reya. But again, as we see from the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef and the Mechaber and the Ramot, that does not seem to be the issue because Bechlal not raised. The question is, whether Levin is a Raya. No one's saying that goes back to the Gemara Pesach. So it's an interesting discussion, but Lechor, it's hard to imagine that's really the Nekuda of here. So what makes this Sugya even more relevant is that when the Rav explained this sugya, he says, what possible din could this be styled after? And they want to strengthen his approach by pointing out that throughout Dav Beis and Dav Gimel, there's an underlying issue which Rashi records, which we didn't really speak about. And that is the first sugya of the Masechta, HaKol Shoyechden. The Gemara is discussing who is the Chachil, who is the B'dieved. So we had the person who was Mekabel to eat Chul and Altaros HaKodesh. All right? But then the Gemara says, well, maybe it's referring to a mumer. Maybe it's referring to Akuti. When the Gemara discusses this issue, what's the discussion? What's the din? Can Akuti shech l'chadchila? Does Akuti require Omen al-Gabo? Correct? So we imagine, maybe Akuti wants to become a sheikhet. He wants to get a hechsher. So we have to figure out. Omen al-Gabo, have to give him the sake. Right? You have a mumer. But he wants to make a parnasa. He trained to be a sheikh. And then he went after Derech. Or he found one din is hard to make. So can he still do shechita? What kind of hashkocha does he have to have? But the lashon of Rashi is afilu kuti. So listen to what Rashi says. Moisrin loy beheima lachadchila l'shchoit. Question is, do we give him an animal to shech? Chulin be. V'yafilu kuti moisvin loy behem alachar chilul eshchot. Why? The mitzvah shechziku boy. Obviously, yes, we're nechlis loy. So I was intrigued with that, the lashon of Rashi. That the Gemara on Gimel and Beis by a person who is with that we don't know if he knows the halacha or not. So Rashi says, "Techashive mumchin sheyoidin boy elu hamoisrin loy behemel l'shchot makirin boy." The people who gave him the animal to shech, is he mumcher or not? Why does Rashi do acrobatics? A person is a butcher. He shechts. So now we want to know whether we can eat the meat or not. But Medvar Mamurim, that we can eat the meat if he was, a mumcha, that we know he knows the halachas. Why does the Rashi say, Sheyoidin loy, who? Hamoisrin loy ve'imalishan. You could say that's the way it was. Because the way it was that people bought animals and they hired shechtim. So the Rashi is telling us just explained to us the Metzias. But I was wondering whether this strengthens the Rav's approach that a sheichet was an appointee. That historically, the Rav pointed that that's the way it was. That there was a point, and when towns would appoint the shochet. Later on, there was even a point in time where the shochet was a very respected person within the town. But what I'm suggesting is that this point which the Rav makes may be supported as that is what the Mishnah is saying, that the shochet by definition is an appointee. By definition, the community is recognizing the shochet as being a person who is obviously trusted, and a person to whom we would give our animals to shech. And if that's the case, so the Rav pointed out that the Rambam says, "Ein ma midin isha b'malchus, shenemar som tosim alecho melech v'leibalka, v'chein kol mesimus shebiyisrael ein memanin ben elo ish." The Rambam points out that when the Sifrei Darshans, one of the Sifreids, one of the, I think maybe a Pesikta, the Darshans, Soim Tasim Olecho Melech, Melech Veloy Malka. So that's not only referring to Malchus per se, but referring to any position of Mesima. What exactly is Mesima? So the Rambam right before this, in Halach and Dalin, when he was saying the similar din with respect to a ger, because the halacha is mikerev achicha tosim alecho kol mesimos shatomesim lo yeela mikerev achicha, that a position of mesima or sorora cannot be rendered to a ger as well. So the Rambam's examples are sari chamishim sari asara. A person who's appointed to be in charge of a group of people, like a president of a shul, afilu memuna ala masamayim shemechalik mimenu lesodos, even if they were appointed as being the person who would divvy out the water of the town, to divvy out some kind of shared asset. So Rav suggested that the machlekes between the Ogur and the Tosfos is whether there was a minog to see the shochet as a position of sorora, position of mesiva, which would be excluded from it. Now, by the Rav taking this position, so the Rav was establishing two ideas which have become very, very much on the al shulchan melachim. Right? Number one is he was defining what is kol mesimos shatamesim, What does that mean? And number two, he was establishing that the psak of the Rambam was accepted by the Rama Lamasa. Right, so tomorrow we'll do a few more marmakos just to finish up this topic. And Yoy said it's a very contemporary issue. So there are two very well-known tshuvas on this issue. One is Rav Moshe's tshuva. I think it was a woman in Philadelphia, I think, who was an almona, and she wanted to, and her parnasa came from being a mashkiach. So whether that is a violation of Kol Mesimos, then it's a very entertaining. The first part of the tshuva is very interesting, and the second tshuva, when he was heavily criticized, his response was very entertaining. So, and then there's also a tshuva by Rav Uziel, and that was in the context, I think, in Eretz Yisrael, of women being in public positions. So these three tshuvas very much help us understand the contemporary issue of Kol Mesimos, and that's why this particular shiur of the Rav has become very, very important. So tomorrow we'll finish up the sugya by focusing on these in the crux.
Yes. Yes. Why it would be okay for a woman to be shechita by herself?
Correct. Oh, right. What I'm saying is, in other words, what the Rav then explained is that you understand the position that says that a woman can shecht by herself, but not for others, would be that if a woman wants to do shechita in her backyard and it's not a public position, it's not, so then she can do it. That would explain how that's correct. Exactly.